you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This is The Edge with Jonathan Von Tobel and Matt Eumanns on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What up, folks? Eumanns still out on the islands of Hawaii. He will be back later this week. I think it's Wednesday, right, Santos? Yeah, I think we'll call it Wednesday. I'll call it tomorrow and see if he shows up. But we got a good show on tap today. Coming up 15 minutes from now, Dieter Kurtenbach out of the Bay Area will be with us. I think the Warriors are playing some important basketball in a couple of days. So let's discuss the Warriors' perspective of their Western Conference Finals matchup with the Dallas Mavericks, who we'll get to momentarily. And Brian Geltzeiler, founder of Hoops Critic, host on SiriusXM NBA Radio, give us the DL on everything that we have seen in the postseason up to this point and what he expects out of that Eastern Conference Finals matchup between Boston and Miami. But I know that yesterday – I know that yesterday it's kind of hard to look back with fondness on two game sevens that were kind of blowouts and boring and whatnot. But I think you got to start with what happened between Phoenix and Dallas because that was fascinating. And sometimes I was on with Gil earlier today on a numbers game, Gil Alexander, contemporary here at VSiN, and was talking about, like, you know, even if it's a blowout, sometimes you just can't take your eyes away from everything that was happening. And I actually went back and rewatched the first half of this because I didn't get to check it out. I was driving back after the Hardwood Handicapper show yesterday. And, dude, Luka Doncic, sometimes it's great to just watch greatness. And Luka Doncic is just that. 123-90. The Suns go off as a 6.5-point favorite. Their market really liked this Suns team in this series. Multiple shops had reported that the Suns were the largest liability from a series standpoint when it came to the conference semifinals. A lot of people coming in on the Suns to win this series before it got started. So you can, I think, hear a sigh of relief with the Dallas Mavericks eliminating the Phoenix Suns last night. But this was a pretty popular team, and you saw it at times throughout the series, the market support for the Phoenix Suns. But I thought this game and this series, you know, analytics and numbers get a lot of flack for stuff, right? The nerds, you got to play the game. But I do think, and I wrote about this yesterday, this and what transpired between Boston and Milwaukee yesterday, these are really good cases for analytics and numbers really showing you a picture that final scores would not, right? So you take this series, for example, and a lot of what you heard yesterday before the game started was, well, the Suns have been blowing them out at home. The Suns are the better team at home. It's been about the home team this entire time. Why would the Dallas Mavericks show up in a game seven of all situations and perform at a level that not only would they not win this game, but not even be able to cover? But when you actually looked at what has transpired over the last four games before that game seven, and you saw some of the underlying numbers with the Dallas Mavericks when they were on the road. Case in point, between these two teams, it was the Dallas Mavericks who had the higher offensive efficiency on the road compared to the Phoenix Suns. 108.3 for the Dallas Mavericks, just a 103.5 for the Phoenix Suns when they played in Dallas. If you looked at the shot quality metrics and numbers, you saw that one of them painted a picture of Dallas. If they shot an average in terms of shot quality, should have won one of the games in Phoenix, definitely should have covered another. If you looked at some of the things that the Dallas Mavericks were doing in terms of their five-out approach, as John Hollinger called it in his article today up on The Athletic, space ball, which we saw a little bit of from the Los Angeles Clippers last year against the Dallas Mavericks, where it was just space the floor, drive and kick, and get open three-point opportunities. And going into last night, 24.6% of the three-point attempts from the Dallas Mavericks in this series were considered wide open by the NBA tracking data. You saw little things here and there, like, you expect this? No. Like a 123-90 blowout where they're up by 40 at one point in the game? Absolutely not. You're not going to call that. But can you look back and look at some of the numbers and realize that, like, yeah, like this was kind of, there was a case to be made that the Mavericks had been playing better basketball through the course of the final four games of this series, and that ultimately played out yesterday. And I know the narrative now, because this is what we do on social media and Twitter, is like, hey, let's just jump on Chris Paul and bury the guy. But the Mavericks deserve a ton of credit. And it's funny because we have two teams now in their respective conference finals that I think very much mirror one another with how they ended the season. And that would be Dallas and that would be Boston. These two teams really turned things around their respective seasons right around the same time, right about the start of the calendar year in terms of January in 2022. And the Dallas Mavericks, if you go back and with the last 21 games, for example, this doesn't even just count the postseason, last 21 games, they're 16-5 against the spread. Since the start of the calendar year, they're a top five team in efficiency offensively and defensively. They've been a very, very sound squad, and they check the box of superstar player, transcendent player. Like, that's something that I think really is important when you're talking about all these numbers and whatnot. You got a guy like Luka Doncic, a dominant wing player who can score, who can command, who can do all of these things and push your team to the next level. So all this being said, Dallas should be taken seriously as we move forward into a Western Conference final series with the Golden State Warriors. You saw the opener, and we're still sitting in that range right now. Warriors are $2.50 favorite over at BetMGM. You're catching 2-1 with the Dallas Mavericks. The Celtics hope it up $1.65 favorite, some spots $1.60, over the Miami Heat, who are +135. And some spots are as high as $1.80 on the Celtics, which we'll get to momentarily. But I just think that overall, when you look at the Dallas Mavericks, I just find it pretty funny that the market didn't really respect Dallas a whole lot. And you can kind of understand some pushback on a team like the Celtics against Milwaukee, because at least Milwaukee has arguably the best player on the planet, and they're the defending champs. But everything you looked at with the Dallas Mavericks kind of told you that this is a team that's going to be pretty competitive, and this is a team that is a little bit better than the market's given them credit for. And now they're 16-5 in the last 21 games against the spread. They're in the Western Conference Finals, and they showed up in a really big way yesterday against the Phoenix Suns. So they deserve a ton of credit. And also, Jason Kidd deserves a ton of credit for this turnaround. We all saw the clip up on social media of him coaching from the sidelines. You know, you get to pick which bench you start your offense in front of, and for a specific reason, Kidd and the Dallas Mavericks chose to start offensively in front of the Phoenix Suns bench so that when they were on defense in the first quarter, they could actually get off to a better start defensively. But the Mavericks are great, man. They deserve a ton of credit. And now as you kind of look forward to this, and we'll talk more about this, of course, with Dieter Kurtenbach, but the regular season series, and I know we have, you know, some of these numbers, there's not a ton to look into this. Dallas went 3-1 in the season series. If you remember that matchup on February 27th, that 107-101 final, that was a ridiculous comeback, their penultimate game in the regular season series, which Dallas came storming back and ultimately won that game. And the last two are a little bit closer to the matchup you'll see here, but still, Draymond didn't play in the last two. Klay Thompson missed one of them. So there's not a ton you can take from it. But at the end of the day, that guy right there, Luka Doncic, and this team deserve a ton of credit for the turnaround that they've had since the beginning of the calendar year. And I think it's very eerily similar to what the Boston Celtics have pulled off. It's just that the Celtics are the glamour franchise. We're going to remember this because they were so dominant. But the Dallas Mavericks, man, they are right up there with them. And with that, the Celtics, of course, move on. Fantastic way to end the series, too. Now, while Luka Doncic did it not by himself, but with some incredible individual performances when they went down 3-2, right, the famous walking out of the court, see, like, everybody talks big when they're up, the Celtics did it with some pretty good teamwork and solid defense. And yesterday, 109-81, the final score there. Celtics is a five-point favorite. They obviously cover, and they win comfortably against the Milwaukee Bucks, who clearly missed Chris Middleton and clearly were getting nothing from the other guys around them. The other guards, not named Drew Holiday, went 0-for from the floor. It was a pretty pathetic performance from the reserve guys, especially backcourt players for the Milwaukee Bucks. And you could tell, too, I mean, how many times do we see Giannis Antetokounmpo miss, like, bunnies and layups and shots the way that he did in this game? I thought Giannis looked exhausted. Like, it takes a toll in a conference semifinal series to average 40 points a game. And Giannis did that over the course of the four games leading into the Game 7. He'd been brilliant. But the Boston Celtics, the Bucks, I guess, challenged them, you could say. And a lot of people criticized Budenholzer, and a lot of people are saying you should fire Bud for not adjusting. But if you actually look at what had transpired yesterday, and I don't think people are going to like this, going back to how I kind of opened the show in terms of, like, taking up for numbers and analytics, you know, the offensive rating for the Milwaukee Bucks and or defensive rating for the Milwaukee Bucks in non-garbage time was actually 104.3. It's a really good defensive rating. Yes, the priority was cut off the rim, and it was allow these guys to take three-point shots and see if they can beat us. And they did. They answered that call, and they were brilliant. They shot very well from beyond the arc. But still, they limited Boston in the paint. They did what they had to do. It's just, I think you look at this and you go, you need more from your offense. You need other producers around. So I wouldn't want to criticize Bud too much, but I will say this. As you move forward now, and we look at the potential matchup with the Miami Heat and how this bracket could shake out, and I was texting with Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate Superbook, and I told him, the Boston Celtics are my highest-rated team left in the NBA right now, and they are a one-and-a-half-point underdog right now in Game 1 of their Eastern Conference Final Series against the Miami Heat. They're on the road. Obviously, they are the two seed. Miami is the one. But I don't think, to me, there's any question that the Celtics are the best team left in this postseason right now. Now, if you want to ask the gap between a team like the Celtics or the Golden State Warriors, it's not that big, but that is still the case here. The Celtics are the best team left in the NBA right now, and they have a lot of good pieces. And what's going to be interesting about this matchup, and there's so many different ways that you can slice it, and we'll have more details later in the show and also with Geltzeiler and tomorrow too, but when, to me, it's going to start with this Celtics team in this postseason has been taking a lot of threes. And they've kind of been forced twos to a certain extent because of the opposition they have faced, and especially Milwaukee, who challenged them to do so. Against Miami, you're going to get the same challenge. Miami will allow you to take three-point shots. Now, usually they're more contested than what the Milwaukee Bucks were doing. But still, the general philosophy remains the same. The Toronto Raptors, I saw Kyle Lowry and just went there for some reason. The Miami Heat, when you look at them, they prioritize defending the paint, the rim, and they're going to challenge you to make three-point shots and some slightly contested three-point shots and tough three-point shots, and it's going to be on the Boston Celtics to do so. But I'll be curious. I'm going to ask Dieter Kurnbach, and I will ask Brian Geltzeiler both if they agree with my sentiment that the Celtics are the best team left in the NBA. And it's not a slight to the Miami Heat. You know, the Heat are a really good team. I do have my questions about whether or not they can score in half-court situations or how fluid that offense looks when you're not forcing turnovers and getting out in transition like they were doing in each of the last two series. And they have plenty of shooters, and they're a very, very good team. But when it comes to this, and you see the market's respect for them, despite the fact that you don't have home court in this series, you are favored in this series. And the Celtics just behind the pecking order, the 1-2-3-4, plus 220, on the remaining numbers in terms of BetMGM to win an NBA championship. But I got to tell you, I mean, this is a pretty good Final Four. You have an awesome player in the in Luka Doncic for the Dallas Mavericks. You have the top seed in the Eastern Conference. And then you have two glamour franchises. I think the Warriors now considered to be a glamour franchise with their championship core and the Warriors and the Celtics. This is going to be a lot of fun how these Final Four teams shake out and who eventually wins the NBA Finals. And also, should be worth noting, that we are in an age of parity. This is now the fourth consecutive year that we're not going to have a repeat team in the finals or a repeat champion. So this has been the last few years a lot of fun for the association. Let's talk Warriors. When we come back, Dieter Kurtenbach out of the Bay Area is going to join us.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, the VSiN Spring Special is here for only $59. I didn't mean to get so aggressive. I just wanted to tell you. $59, you're going to get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. That includes Adam Burke's daily Major League Baseball Best Bets. He's going to be with us in studio for 30 minutes tomorrow. A lot of hardcore handicapping stuff in terms of baseball on deck for mañana. Jonathan Von Tobel, that's me. He got best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. Andy McNeil's going to break down the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. Lots of NFL preseason coverage and other sports as well. If you want the full VSiN experience, hit it up now. $59 gets you a subscription through July 31st, vsin.com/spring. Follow this guy on Twitter at Dieter, D-I-E-T-E-R, Dieter Kurtenbach, Bay Area News Group sports columnist, is with us now. Talk a little Warriors. But first, Dieter, I know that you are a native son of Chicago or that area of the country, correct? Mm-hmm.
That is correct, yes.
So, of course, I always start with the most important topics whenever you give us some time today. Walk me through the pizza puff and what it is, because you had presumed the country knew about this thing, but I didn't learn about it until you tweeted about it about an hour ago.
Yeah, the pizza puff is, it looks like just a tiny, or a very, like a Totino's pizza roll, but much larger. And this is a Chicago delicacy. You deep fry it in the French fry fryer. You have it at your Chicago hot dog stand. It's just part of the, you know, we had it at the school cafeteria. It's just part of day-to-day life. Just pizza puff. That's a giant thing. It's a giant pastry. I believe it's just a flour tortilla filled with something reasonably resembling pizza in the middle. Again, just like a large pizza puff and a pizza roll. But again, I presumed up until my wife had to adamantly like sit me down and be like, this doesn't exist. This is not a thing that exists anywhere else in the country. She thought I was making them up. They're very real. They can only be found in Chicago. They don't even like exist in the real suburbs of Chicago. Highly recommend anyone who goes through Chicago, find yourself a good local hot dog stand, get yourself a pizza puff, because if you have one, that will probably actually do you for the rest of your life.
Well, watching the WTTW report on this with no sound, as the kids say, I effed with it, so I'm probably in on this. I'm also in on this Western Conference Finals between Dallas and Golden State. I think this is setting up to be a lot of fun, but I wanted to ask you, who do you think the Warriors, who's the better matchup for them? Who do you think they wanted to come out of this series? Was it Dallas, or would they have preferred to see Phoenix? Because as Patrick Beverley said today, nobody is scared of the Phoenix Suns in the NBA.
Yeah, I get where Patrick Beverley's coming from. And by the way, good job, Patrick Beverley. You nailed that, taking that offseason seriously. I think they would prefer to see Dallas. Now, it's not to say that either of these are a good option for the Warriors. Both teams presented very serious threats to Golden State. But when I look at just what the Warriors were struggling with early in the series with Memphis, it was Ja Morant's speed, off the line, getting to the basket, sort of just classic guard play. And while we can make the argument that Chris Paul was totally washed, and certainly that looked to be the case in Game 7, while the game plan that Dallas used against Devin Booker, double-teaming him, forcing him to be the playmaker that he is not, could have been extrapolated into the Western Conference Finals had the Warriors been there, the lack of Gary Payton II was big. And it was just one fewer perimeter defender on a team that doesn't have a lot of perimeter defenders with foot speed. They have a lot of guys who can hang up out there, but not a lot of dudes who are going to stop anybody with a good first and second step from getting past them. It's a little bit of an Ole defense. So I think that just looking at the way that Dallas plays, oh, and by the way, the size of the Phoenix Suns would have been a problem. It wasn't a problem for Phoenix until, you know, it was a problem for Phoenix until, or I'm sorry, it was a problem for Dallas until it wasn't. I'm all out of sorts. Luka Doncic has me completely out of sorts when I'm looking at all this film here. They wouldn't have been able to handle 48 minutes of the Suns' competent center play, even if they went five out, because they just don't have the shooters. So Dallas, with their five-out system, playing small more or less every minute of the game, with Doncic on the point of attack, and let's be real, Doncic doesn't have a fast first step. Now, he is a brilliant scorer. He can get anywhere he wants on the floor, and he can knock down shots from anywhere, but he's not someone who's going to burn you off the line. They play a slow pace. I like Brunson. I like Dinwiddie a lot, and it does give Dallas a little bit more of a dynamic, but this is a team that is basically playing James Harden hero ball with better players. And the Warriors know all about that. They can put Andrew Wiggins on Doncic. They can put Draymond Green on Doncic. They can have Kevon Looney hold his own one-on-one on the perimeter with Doncic. Doncic is going to get his, don't get me wrong. He'll get 30-something a game every night. But they could even put Klay Thompson, who has been a massive defensive liability, on Doncic. And because the Warriors don't have a center, I think that they would have preferred to have gotten into that situation where they can just say, let Doncic get whatever he wants and we'll defend everything else. And beyond that, hey, let's go against the smaller team so that we're not getting pummeled on the inside like we did against Denver, like we did against Minnesota, and like we would have done had we played Phoenix. So I think this is the better matchup, but that's not to say it can't be a deep and interesting series.
So one of the things that I think, and everybody saw this transpire in, what was it, game five back in Memphis, the turnovers for the Golden State Warriors. I think a lot of people would be generally surprised that this team finished 29th in offensive turnover rate in the regular season. As you know, it's been a problem for them. And we just saw the Phoenix Suns. I mean, Chris Paul was bamboozled by the three guys that they would throw at him, right? Whether it was Frank Ntilikina, whether it was Dorian Finney-Smith, whether it was Reggie Bullock. They were forcing turnovers at a pretty high clip in this series. Can Dallas do the same thing here against the Golden State Warriors? Because it's also, I think, Dieter, it's fair to say that sometimes you watch the Warriors, sometimes it's like a turnover that's just like, yeah, I feel like I can fit this pass here, as opposed to like a forced issue by the other team.
It's almost entirely the just Draymond Green trying something cool and interesting model, which at a certain point, they're the most aggravating team to watch in basketball. If you have money on the Golden State Warriors, you will regret that decision, even if they cover, even if you come out way ahead, because they are so painful to watch if you have any stakes in the game, because they just do stupid stuff. If they stop doing stupid stuff, they are spectacular. But it is deep. They have this championship DNA that's kind of been the buzzword around here. They also have in their DNA the proclivity to do stupid stuff. They just cannot break it. And I don't think that's going to stop in this series, but it's not as big of an issue so long as they curtail it to a certain point. And we've seen that happen in fourth quarters and in critical moments in the first two rounds of these playoffs. So long as they curtail it, they're in good shape. And I think that Dallas is going to have a real problem here. There's nothing more the Warriors want with their system, offensive system, than for someone to double-team Stephen Curry. They're begging for it. They're absolutely begging for it. And we've seen it since 2013, 2014, when you try to trap Curry when he comes across half court. Well, that's now four-on-three basketball with Draymond Green on the short roll. And for all of the glamour that Draymond Green has lost this postseason, he hasn't been in that situation. No one's really been trapping Curry double-team when he brings the ball up the floor like they did back in the day. That's how Draymond Green became a Hall of Famer. It wasn't just the defense. It was also him on the short roll making things happen. And if Dallas wants to do that, I'd like to think that Jason Kidd is smart enough. He's shown such an incredible ability to call defense in this series. Jason Kidd's smart. He won't do that. But I don't fear Dallas's defense for the Warriors in this series. It's good. It's quality. It's not to say that they won't get theirs, but it just doesn't feel like anything that's going to force the Warriors out of their comfort zone. They know how to foil what it is Dallas will be throwing at them. And as much as Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith have been great wing defenders this postseason. It's just not on par with the best of the best who have actually given Golden State some problems. And Luka's on the floor too. And as we saw in the series against Phoenix, if you have a competent point guard, which apparently Phoenix didn't have for the final 3-4 games of the series, you can really exploit the matchup against Luka and make him work on the defensive end. And I think that would be something that the Warriors are going to attack early and often.
Dieter Kurtenbach with us. All right, last 90 seconds then. There's a lot we can get into, but there's not enough time. So I'll just ask you this. Dallas, they like to mismatch hunt. Are you worried at all about Steph Curry getting run through a whole bunch of stuff like they did with Chris Paul?
Yeah, I'm not as worried about it. I have to keep saying, like, whatever happened to Chris Paul, I think has more to do with Chris Paul than anything that the Dallas Mavericks did. And it's not to take anything away from what Dallas did. That was spectacular. It was incredible. But what the hell happened to Phoenix? Like, what happened to Chris Paul? They fell apart. That wasn't just scheme and matchups and tactics. That was folding. That was something really special. And Steph has been in the line of attack here this entire postseason. Denver couldn't really do much to exploit it. Monty Morris tried, but he's Monty Morris. Memphis was doing it like crazy. And the Warriors, at a certain point, because Morant was cooking Klay Thompson so much and because Jordan Poole is such a bad defender, they were willingly putting Steph into those situations. And it will take away from him on the offensive side. There's no doubt about that. He does look like a half step slower. Now, he had a lot of steps to give up, but still a half step slower is a half step slower. They will be hunting him on the defensive side. I think that people are going to be surprised at the competence that he can show on that end. And because Dallas plays five out, Draymond Green lurks in the background.
Dieter, it's good to talk to you, man. I really appreciate it, as always.
Anytime, buddy.
Yeah, you got it. Dieter Kurtenbach again, San Jose Mercury News. All right, we'll come back. We're not done. Let's talk Eastern Conference Finals with Brian Geltzeiler.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get your edge this playoff season with the Body Armor Edge Basketball Throwdown. Join four free fantasy hoops contests and play for your share of $20,000 in total cash prizes. While the action unfolds on the court, head to DraftKings.com/BodyArmorEdge now to draft your best lineup and find out if you'll outlast the competition. Body Armor, more than a sports drink. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Now, it was actually a pretty wild weekend to play in the postseason, not only just the NBA, but the National Hockey League as well, with quite a few Game 7s in the NHL. And also baseball was played, so we still have the baseball regular season going on. And this, to me, is like the best part of the year, because now that we're getting to the point where you can have a few days off more regularly in the NBA postseason, only one-game matchups in the NBA too, so you get to dive in a little bit more on what's going on in Major League Baseball. And it's a shorter slate today, but there are some matchups that I thought that were totally worth looking at here today. And now it might be selfish considering that I am a fan of the team, but it's hard not to look at the way that the Angels are playing considering that this team continues to deliver, taking 3 out of 4 over the Oakland Athletics. No feat really to write home about, but this offense continues to churn out runs and looks like one of the best ones in Major League Baseball. And in fact, in terms of weighted runs created plus the Anaheim Angels at the top of the list for Major League Baseball lineups. I'm going to double-check, make sure that's still the case. No, they were surpassed by the Yankees after the last couple of days. So they are second in weighted runs created plus. 122 for the Yankees, 120 for the Angels. But today they're on the road, taking on the Rangers. $1.40 is the price tag here for the Halos. It's going to be one Noah Syndergaard taking the hill, taking on John Gray of the Texas Rangers. And we've seen this kind of shift around a little bit. If you look at where it opened up, some spots I think reportedly opened up as like $1.45 in favor of the Angels. But what I'm interested in here is a couple of things. One, looking at Syndergaard, because last time we saw Syndergaard, it was a solid performance, 5 1/3 against the Tampa Bay Rays, gave up a solo shot to Rosarena, but was, you know, I don't know what you call it, shaky, whatever it was. But still, there are some signs that while Syndergaard has been fantastic, 2.45 ERA over 29 1/3, the strikeouts aren't really there for him, though, only 6.44 strikeouts per nine. And he's getting a little lucky on batting average on balls in play, which one of the things we're going to talk about with Adam Burke when he joins us in studio tomorrow, something along those lines. He wrote a great piece about, you know, the regression that some of these pitchers for the Angels could face. And I think there's a really strong case to be made that Syndergaard's one of them. Now, the extent to which that regression is going to come is the question, because you look at some of these underlying numbers, like fielding independent, 338 is still very, very good. 362 expected ERA is still very, very good. And he's not giving up home runs at all. Like, it's not been an issue for him, too. So you get a little less lucky in terms of the balls in play, then maybe your ERA goes up, you allow a few more runs. But why I ask all this is it a chance that Syndergaard is maybe being a little overpriced at this point? Just ever so slightly, like $1.40 price tag on the road is a pretty good price tag to be laying, even though it is the Texas Rangers and even though the opposition is one John Gray. And I think when you look at Gray and what he provides as a starter here, he's actually one where you can make the case for a little bit more positive regression, because his underlying numbers haven't been terrible, and it's a short sample size, only four starts, 16 and a third, 551 on the ERA, but expected ERA is 388, and you look at the fielding independent, 433, and one of the things that I think I've steered away from because of Burke and what he's talked about here, and you can find Adam's work all the way up on VSiN.com and Major League Baseball section, using expected fielding independent as kind of the measure as opposed to fielding independent, because his xFIP's actually been really good, John Gray. But in other words, what I'm saying here is, I think the Rangers actually might be a little bit more live than the market's giving them credit for, just because there are some positive indicators around a guy like Gray. Syndergaard, again, some negative, although it's not entirely crazy negative. I do think that maybe this might be a little bit of an overpriced tag on Syndergaard and the Anaheim Angels. So watch that later tonight. A couple of other things you wanted to get to here in terms of Major League Baseball as well. First off, my guilty pleasure, and I don't know why. I guess we kind of know why. The Diamondbacks are kind of a fun team, man, and especially like some of the arms that they have been absolutely fantastic. And today, they are going to send out one Madison Bumgarner to oppose the Los Angeles Dodgers and Tony Gonsolin. We'll get to Gonsolin in a second, but Bumgarner is one of these guys that if you're looking around for potentially a spot to kind of go against them, I know they're a $2.40 favorite here today, but Bumgarner's been one of those guys that seems to be kind of getting away with murder here. Because if you talk about the 1.78 ERA for him, it's been absolutely fantastic. That's great. Command's been an issue, though. He's walking over 3.5 guys per nine innings. His strikeouts are down. Right now, if he were to finish out in terms of strikeouts per nine, it would be a career low, but he's 30 and a third at this point. The batting average on balls in play, getting ridiculously lucky at 2.05. And then you look at some of the other numbers. Well, the expected ERA is still pretty good at 382. Fielding independent, 469. Bumgarner is one of these candidates, a very good candidate for some major regression here. And a start against the Los Angeles Dodgers might be the case. Now, the Dodgers, historically, over the last few seasons, and Dave Kochen has brought this up, pretty average team when it comes to facing lefties. So maybe Madison Bumgarner gets away with it again here. But I do think that if you're looking at, like, hey, you know, the Snakes, they've been kind of feisty. Maybe we look at a guy like Mad Bum, who's 2-1 here, that's going to keep Arizona in it. He's definitely a candidate to, I think, get knocked around. But on the flip side, you get Tony Gonsolin, who over six starts, 27 innings, has been really solid for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But you can make an argument there's something coming for him, but nowhere near the level, I think, at least, when it comes to Madison Bumgarner. His walks have been a little bit of an issue over 27 innings, too. But these are two pitchers that I think are due for a little bit of a comeback down to earth here. But I would say Madison Bumgarner is probably the one that I would circle and look at for not a beatdown, but a potential in which maybe not the guy that you really have seen up to this point when you're talking about the numbers that he has put forth. Two more to get to really quickly before we get out of here. We're going to get to best bets and talk a little bit about how we're going to approach games one in both the Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals. But let's go to Yusei Kikuchi taking on Flexen and the Seattle Mariners, because do we call it the Yusei Kikuchi revenge game, maybe? But Flexen getting the start here for Seattle. And if you look across the board, what you see is what you get with Flexen. He has not been a good strikeout, and he's not been like a dominant strikeout guy at any point in his career, but still low across the board in terms of the ability to generate swings and misses. Right now, generating just under six strikeouts every nine innings, a K rate of 15.7%. But when I say the numbers are tight, you can see across the board, ERA 4.24, expected ERA of 5.18, fielding independent of 460, so they're all kind of right in line with one another. So there's no real edge to be found when it comes to looking at him and thinking, hey, man, he's either pitching above his head or below his head. And on the flip side, you get Kikuchi, who's actually put together a couple of solid performances, but he, too, kind of what you get in terms of the numbers, although there's a little bit more variance, I think, with a guy like Yusei Kikuchi. When you're talking about a 4.15 ERA, 5.69 expected ERA, and a 4.99 fielding independent. So it's a matchup of two guys that I've not been entirely a big fan of, especially when you're talking about backing them from a money line standpoint. And what I'd be interested to see is this total now up to 9, shaded to the under at minus 120. But we saw this open 8.5, slightly shaded to the over at minus 115. That makes a little bit more sense. These are two pitchers who you can really see the warning signs. And Kikuchi, at one point, we were talking about this. Humans brought this up when we were talking about some thought that Kikuchi might be out of the league. Like, he doesn't have anything left, and showed up in a big way. I think it was that start against the Yankees, if I remember correctly. But there are some warning signs there for both of these guys that maybe, just maybe, we're probably going to get a little bit more of a higher scoring affair, and the market has responded as such, betting this up from that 8.5 to 9 in multiple spots up on the screen. We should also, I know this has probably been talked to death on the network early on, but shout out to the Reds who lost despite despite no-hitting their opponent over the weekend. Let's go Red Sox and Astros really quickly before we get out of here, because Boston, $1.25 favorite, somewhere on the market there. The Astros have been ridiculous in terms of the way they've been playing baseball, looking much more like the team that was a prohibitive favorite to win the AL West, although they do have a little bit more competition now that the Angels look the way that they do offensively. But you get Whitlock on the hill opposing this lineup that has been absolutely mashing, and Whitlock has turned in some pretty good performances. He's made 8 appearances, 4 of them starts, 24 and two-thirds innings of work overall for Whitlock. His strikeout rate's been absolutely fantastic, 12.4 in terms of strikeouts per 9, a K rate of 34.7%. And again, talking about how tight these numbers are across the board, 219 ERA, 234 expected, and a 290 fielding independent for Whitlock. He's been a guy that I think is worth backing here when you're talking about the numbers, and if there's any little bit of like regression coming for him, it does not seem to be the case. And on the flip side, getting this start for the Houston Astros is Jake Odorizzi. And you look at him, and he's pretty solid across the board as well. But I do think that maybe when you're talking about this market and where this has been going, because again, we're talking about what, minus 117 right now in favor of the Boston Red Sox. I know that some spots opened up about minus 125 or so, and minus 120 other spaces. But I think mostly, I think we've seen a couple of spots open. I'm looking at the screen right now, sorry. Yeah, like minus 114. So actually, the market's moving in favor of Boston. And I would agree with this. I do think that Whitlock has been a guy that is definitely worth backing. Whitlock's been performing pretty well. I do worry that maybe, obviously, with all these numbers, smaller sample size means that you can't read a whole bunch into it. But I think you liked what you've been seeing from Whitlock. And Odorizzi on the other end, well, he's been really solid, and this lineup has been great for the Houston Astros. Maybe a little bit of value there on a team like Boston when you're talking about near a pick at minus 114 in the market and moving in that direction. Other spots that are worth mentioning, didn't really get into them personally in terms of handicapping them and looking at some of the numbers, but when you talk about the Yankees, who are continuing to mash and playing extremely well, the Orioles in years past have given them trouble, and if you're going to win these divisions and do this, you got to perform well against the Orioles, if we have seen. And we've seen right now, Severino, some spots open minus 210. We're looking at about $1.80 right now in favor of Bradish and the Baltimore Orioles, so we'll see if the Yankees can continue to get this done. But Orioles, see if maybe they can continue to be a thorn in the paw of the New York Yankees, as they did, especially last season. All right, we'll come back, talk game ones of the conference finals and where we're looking in terms of both of those matchups when we return.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, remember Zyn? Yeah, I remember Zyn. This segment of The Edge is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. And I want to ask you a question. You tired of the same old when it comes to nicotine? If you've been looking, hoping, and wishing for a more satisfying and discreet smoke-free way to experience nicotine satisfaction, we've got Zyn. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are those satisfying, smoke-free, spit-free tobacco alternative available in 10 varieties like Spearmint, Wintergreen, Citrus, and many more. Zyn, America's number one nicotine pouch, available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, meaning it's never been easier to find your Zyn. So head on over to Zyn.com/find. That is Zyn.com/find. Warning, product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right, let's welcome in Brian Geltzeiler, host of SiriusXM NBA, founder of HoopsCritic.com as well. Brian, we really appreciate the time, as always. So let's start with these Eastern Conference Finals. And before we get to the finals themselves, I just wanted to ask you this general question. So I am of the mindset the Boston Celtics, to me, are the best team left of the four that are remaining. Would you agree with that sentiment?
I would. I think that they're the most versatile. I think they're the most complete. I don't know that they're the deepest. I think that distinction probably would land somewhere in either Golden State or Miami. But Boston, the versatility is a very big deal for them. And I do think, you know, Robert Williams, which is a guy they didn't have for the large majority of the Milwaukee series and still managed to win that series, is a guy that they could use here. Because with Miami likes to play a small five at Bam Adebayo, and they don't ever want to put him at four. And I think that for Boston, they can force the hand of Miami a little bit and take some advantages inside if they're able to have Horford and Williams on the floor together. The guys they replace Robert Williams with, Grant Williams, who hit a bunch of threes yesterday, but again, a little bit of a smaller defender. And Derek White, excellent defensive player, but a guard, forces them to play a little bit smaller. Boston can derive an advantage in terms of size and kind of throw the Heat around. As tough as the Heat are, throw them around a little bit with them playing Bam at five. So I'm going to have a close eye on how much Robert Williams is going to play, how much is going to be available, and how well that knee holds up.
Yeah, we got the news today. Ime Udoka said he would be available for game one, but we'll see exactly the extent to which that availability is. I think he also said there'd be no minutes restriction, but saying it is one thing and then seeing it is another. So let's talk a little bit more about this matchup then. You know, we just watched this last game, and we watched over the course of this best of seven between Boston and Milwaukee. Milwaukee, as we know, loves to prioritize rim defense, shoot your threes. Grant Williams, if you beat us, you beat us. Well, he did. And they shot a crap ton of threes. And they're actually, their three-point frequency in the postseason, Brian, has been higher than it has been in the regular season. And they're going to run into a similar kind of defensive philosophy with Miami, right? Miami will allow opponents to take three-point shots. Why would this play out any differently? What does Miami do differently in allowing three-point shots and prioritizing rim defense that Milwaukee didn't?
Well, I think Miami has some better individual perimeter defenders than Milwaukee. So I think their rotations are going to be a tad crisper, which means there will be times that they'll decide to challenge certain shooters. Will they let Smart shoot? They'll let Smart shoot. Will they let Williams, as you just said, shoot? They most certainly will. They'll definitely let Derek White shoot. They're not going to let Brown and Tatum get open threes. And Miami rotates very well. And they have, so I think the strength in their perimeter defense is what's going to make things a little bit harder for Boston here. But I do think probably the guy that's the most key player on both teams, because I look at this series and my first thought in this series, can Miami score enough to win this series? The outside of Jimmy Butler, is someone else going to give them enough offensively? We know Bam will do what Bam does, and he'll have more good games than bad ones. But Bam's not going to be a guy that comes out and goes crazy and gets 32, 34 for you. And not that anybody else on Miami besides Jimmy Butler will. But to me, the important guy in the series is going to be Max Strus. They're going to keep him on the floor because he defends, and he's a physically strong defender. If Strus can be a consistent offensive force and give them that third guy in addition to Jimmy and Bam, then Miami potentially can score enough. It's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how Boston lays this out. They'll roll three different defenders at Butler. They'll roll Smart at him. They're obviously Brown and Tatum, who has proven to be in this playoff, fantastic defensive player. So they'll roll all three of those guys at Jimmy Butler. And that's why you look at a guy like Strus becomes so important. Again, Tyler Hero is going to draw a lot of Marcus Smart, and Hero hasn't played great here. He certainly could help a ton. But Strus is going to be a really, really key guy offensively for Miami in this series.
So when we talk about this and the series price right now, the Celtics are favored in this series, minus 165, Heat plus 135. I've presented some questions in more in the prism of Boston, so I'll ask this. Miami wins this series how, in your opinion? It's just kind of what you were talking about there in terms of getting more in terms of a scoring third outlet?
More of a scoring third outlet. I think they have to defend the arc. I would say this about one of the things that I thought Milwaukee didn't do a wonderful job of was the volume of three-point attempts that they allowed. And I think you're going to need to see Miami do a better job of that. I think Miami's going to have to rotate a little bit aggressively on the arc. I think in certain points in time, see, that Miami gets a benefit here in this series defensively, which is that as good as Horford was in that series, Bam can still help off Horford. Horford's going to hang out in the three-point line a lot, and it's going to allow Bam to wander. That's going to make Miami's defense in the half court more efficient off the dribble when Brown's trying to go to the basket, which is a big part of his game. Tatum loves to go to the basket. Smart is never shy about dribbling into the paint. That, to me, is going to be important for Miami in that they got to get back to the shooter. So if Miami can limit the three-point attempts and make Boston put it on the floor a little bit more and kind of suck that defense into Bam a little bit, I think that's going to be Miami's big key to win the series. And obviously what I just said, making sure you get that third source of offense, whether it's Strus, whether it's Tyler Hero. But Tyler Hero hasn't looked wonderful here. And I'll tell you, yep, one of the reasons I'm not counting on Hero to do a ton is in the absence of Lowry, there's a lot of point guard responsibility on his shoulders. And that takes away from what he does creatively off a wing. He's just a better off-ball player. And they need him to be an on-ball player in the absence of Lowry.
Yeah, and that's kind of been my thing, Brian, like watching Miami, not to discount them in any sense, but sometimes that half-court offense looks really disjointed. Even sometimes with Lowry out there, it does. But I feel like in a series that's going to be pretty close with a team like Boston, who hasn't looked great in terms of their half-court offense either, but their half-court offense rating's been better than what Miami's put out there this postseason. That's what kind of turns me off with Miami. That offense can look really disjointed at times.
Yeah, it's just Jimmy. Yep. That's what happens. I mean, it's you know, hand it to Butler and let him decide where he's going and what he's doing. Everybody just kind of stand still and watch a little bit, spots up, waiting to shoot, see if he can draw a double. And Boston's too good defensively to get away with that. Boston's a really, really good defensive basketball team. I mean, listen, they made a decision with Giannis to let Giannis do what he does, single guard him as much as possible. He gets in the paint, we'll collapse on him a little bit, but we're going to make sure we're jumping out on shooters and limiting three-point attempts. And I can tell you, I know Jrue Holiday made two enormously important defensive plays to close out Game 5. He didn't have a good offensive series. He was bad. He really was. He was not efficient at all, and they needed him to be a second scorer that he wasn't. And that's why it comes down to, I think what you see Boston defensively will do here, they'll single cover Jimmy Butler all day long, and whatever Jimmy Butler gets, he gets. They're going to worry about making sure they shut down all the other guys. And I got to tell you, the Celtics are really, really good at that.
So on the flip side, of course, we get the Western Conference Finals, Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks. So I like numbers, I like analytics, and I like using them as a handicapping tool. But sometimes you get a dude who's just on one and wants to carry his team as far as he possibly can, and that would be Luka Doncic, it seems, for the Dallas Mavericks. What do you make of the Mavericks' chances here in this series against the Warriors, who are $2.50 favorite in this series?
I like the Mavericks a lot in this series. I think the Mavericks are going to beat the Warriors here. Okay. First of all, the Mavericks bring they bring large perimeter defenders at you. That's what sucked up Phoenix. 27 points in the first half last night.
Yep.
27 points. Reggie Bullock did a job on Chris Paul. Now listen, Steph Curry is not Chris Paul. Okay, he's just a different guy. But Bullock is going to make life hard on him. And Dorian Finney-Smith was great on Booker in the times he guarded. They swap sometimes and switch guys. So whether it's Poole, whether it's Clay, they'll find somebody for Finney-Smith to be on. And you know what? Doncic, you could probably hide him on Andrew Wiggins. And that becomes the other problem. You know, you want to force Luka into inefficiency. You want to make Luka work. You want to push him into turnovers. You want to see if you can get him to take bad shots. Without Gary Payton healthy, who's going to do any of that to Luka? Andrew Wiggins? Otto Porter? You can't put Draymond on him. And Klay Thompson, four years ago would have been the perfect guy to put on him. That's not the same Klay Thompson defensive player there. So I love the formula Dallas has. Dinwiddie was great off the bench last night for them. And the thing where Dallas is weak and where Phoenix didn't take advantage of them is inside. Maxi Kleber is not a wonderful defensive player, a very good three-point shooter. Dwight Powell is not a great defensive player either, but I thought Phoenix should have taken advantage of the big matchup advantage they had with DeAndre Ayton. They did a little bit of that. Some of the games they won, they got away from it real easy and didn't do any of that. Golden State doesn't have even that guy to be able to take advantage of that. It's not Draymond. It's not Kevon Looney. So for Golden State, a perimeter team against probably, to me right now, I mean, listen, Boston's the best defensive team in the league this year. But Dallas, I think, was sixth overall. But right now, in terms of playoff defense, Dallas is right there with Boston. And I think you're going to see what Bullock and Finney-Smith can do to make life hard on Golden State's perimeter players, and Golden State not having a ton of other options. It's going to be very interesting to see. Also, it's going to be a tempo war. Golden State's going to try to get out and play fast. They're going to need threes in transition to get space, to get their open shots. Dallas is going to try to put this thing in a crawl with the ball in Luka's hands.
Brian, thank you for finding some time today. Really appreciate it. We're up against it, but thank you again.
Always my pleasure. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Yep, you got it. SiriusXM NBA Radio, Brian Geltzeiler. Man, can't wait. These conference finals are going to be absolutely fantastic. You know what else is fantastic? My Guys in the Desert, which is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.